The title of today's talk is Unity Requires Harmony. We all need love. The question is, will we relax enough to receive love? And that's not an empty statement. It is just simply body tension, mental tension, that acts as a vibratory wall against experiencing love now. And it can just be as simple as I should, I must, why wasn't, when can. It's a subconscious question of distraction that makes this haze wall of resistance to feeling love this very now. We're invested in a question. We're invested in a, well, as I often say, you know, the should-I's. Should I do this or should I do that? Or shouldn't they be doing that or shouldn't they? And so the should-I, should is an invitation to query, which is a conflict. And it wants you to be in conflict constantly. Your ego wants you to be in conflict or need, apparent need. You may be perfectly fine. You may have perfectly everything you need at the moment, really. But there is an underlying anticipation of need. Need to do, need to have, need to be, need. We have to quit this long enough to experience just relaxation. Think of it this way. You can't float upstream. You can only float downstream or in quiet water. But if it's moving upstream, you cannot float. So you can't float upstream. Everybody's seen pictures of the run of salmon that are trying to spawn, and they're fighting like mad to get upriver. They're jumping over, you know, all kinds of energy in rivers to get uphill, to get upstream to spawn. It's work. And as long as we're working and we're invested in the work, we're not receptive to what's already a gift in the presence, which is the radiation of love from creation and creator. It never goes away. Even when it seems like it's gone away, it doesn't go away. It just is under the mask of something else happening. It's a mask, it's a curtain, it's a veil. And so going through, quote, quote, the veil is what we personally have to remember we have to be energetically in harmony with. So if we're struggling, we're not in harmony with the nature of supportive water. Now the water didn't change. It's just calm. It's, let's say it's a swimming pool or a pond, and someone is trying to get you to learn to float. And yet you can struggle, struggle, struggle. And one of the things that lifeguards always have to learn is that they may need to actually hit a person they're trying to rescue because they're trying to hit the rescuer. Because of their anxiety of drowning, they don't trust the rescuer. Ah, my, my, ego against God. Ego against soul. My struggle will save me. Your struggle will save you. And we're taught that. We're taught that life is a struggle. You have to struggle in order to get a good job, get, you know, graduate, get your math done, get that done, be this way, be that way. It's a struggle. And what we develop is this experience of self. If we were floating, it would be letting go of self-identity as the savior. We would know that it's water that is sustaining us, not our tension. It's our relaxation, letting go, and then water can sustain us, can float us, can save us. So because we start from such basic times as tiny, tiny, tiny tots, that we need to struggle in order to get up a step, or we need to struggle in order to take the first, you know, crawl or whatever, we log in to our memory banks that struggle is what we need to do. And so this struggling, and then what happens is if we cry or whine when we're having a problem as a tiny child, and the parent satisfies the need, or someone comes and satisfies the need, that tension and upset are productive. It gets logged in subconsciously. That tension and struggle are productive. Instead of quiet, intuition and opening are a pattern. We're not taught that. We're not taught that to be quiet, that we may receive insight into next that is not a struggle, that it will smooth the way, that will be better than we could have thought up, would be something we couldn't even think up. So something happens miraculously when we spend time being quiet and getting receptivity. But that's not the only purpose. Getting quiet and getting a reward for that quietude of insight is like kindergarten concept, as opposed to getting quiet and knowing you're in the ocean of all divine love. It's a step in the right direction that gets rewarded. But the real next step is to understand you're in the ocean of God's creation. Why would we fight? Why would we resist? Why would we think we are separate from the frequency of God's love now? We have to earn it. We have to do this. We have to. Even the idea of getting relaxed becomes a job, as opposed to a joy. That earning God's love, that's like saying a parent is being asked to love the child. Wouldn't the parent automatically love the newborn? Of course. It would be automatic because there is a perfect bonding already. The parents are bonded to the child by their genetics. They're already a unit. And back however many generations there are. So that God, the Creator, has created if God is love, and love is God, and God has created everything, isn't everything love? So the idea that we work around and we keep trying to play this game of love, getting love, or being accepted by God, or making ourselves available to spirit. It's true, we want to be available to spirit, but not because it's going to give us a cookie. It's because it's opening the door to the kingdom of all love. So we're of love, by love, in love, from love, and yet we think we're in a struggle. The ego has convinced us that we're in a struggle instead of in a relaxation, that we're swimming upstream rather than floating downstream. To feel that float into spirit, that floating into love. So, the idea that we want help, but we want it to come through wailing, screaming, having a fit on the floor as a child, to get something you want, which you then consider as love or attention, it's like, why would you punch God in the face? Why would we punch our soul in the face by having a dilemma? Why do we create a curtain of opposition when we want the very thing that the soul can provide? We don't realize that we're opposing the very thing we want by being tense. So, to know that you are love, to know that creation is love, to know that you're screwed up with conditioning of a biological genetic makeup and the history of forgetting you are love. You've totally wiped off your memory bank from the time you start having to learn how to manage your body and your senses. And giving that back up and realizing you've created a monster, literally, you've created a monster of should-I's and have-I's and could-I's and would-I's that acts as a continual screening to your sensibility of love, to being love, to being in the ocean of all love. It doesn't seem like you're in the ocean of all love unless you allow yourself a quietude with an expansion of your heart center towards love. It's simple, and yet, because of our history, it's demanding of our attention. We have to put attention on it. Now, you could sometimes, theoretically, you could fall into that loving space. And that would be a gift, because it's not something you would think up. Until you can think up being at one and relaxing, until you can let your mind stop fighting the idea of floating into God, floating into your own spirit, of being so relaxed that your spirit can drop kick a little packet of light that will become inspiration you don't know how. It doesn't come yelling and screaming and here I am, this will work and that. It just quietly drops in. And you open your eyes and you somehow go to the kitchen and make spaghetti. Spaghetti for Uncle Harry, who you don't know is going to show up at the door in 10 minutes. So it's the quietude and the openness that allow us to float, to just open up and stretch out on the water and float. And if we can keep remembering that floating into God is a whole lot more than trying to outrace him or contradict or analyze. You don't have to analyze relaxation. You just have to appreciate it. Now that's the key right there. To appreciate joy and love. Not just aim for it, it's to fully appreciate its value. Because our ego has consistently shortchanged us on appreciation of love. We long for it, and we push it away at the same time. We fight it. The parent comes to try and comfort the child. And the child is screaming, kicking, carrying on. And it takes a long time for the child to be able to receive the love. And when we sit to focus or just be quiet, it takes a while to get to the chemical muscular relaxation that love harmonizes with. And therefore, we receive the imprint of creation's love and creator's love. And so it's like floating into God's love, just floating in, not begging, not pleading, not, you know, you can knock yourself out. And God may take pity on you and say, knock it off, kid, I'm here, relax, I love you. But why can't it be a regular? If it's a fighting getting to know God, as opposed to a floating into, you've taken part of the responsibility of receptivity. And that's your creator, creative part, to create a harmonic energy field for God's love, for Spirit's love. That's it. It's not a big deal. It's very simplistic when you think about it. Very simplistic. Once again, Khadija of Basra, the woman saint from the 700 AD, who was about 500 years before Rumi, and who very greatly his writings influenced Rumi. She was sold into prostitution when she was a child, and then she was bought out when she was about 50. And she became known as a Sufi saint. There is a dog I sometimes take for a walk and turn loose in a field. When I can't give her that freedom, I feel in debt. I hope God thinks like that and is keeping track of all the bliss he owes me. It acts like love, music. It reaches towards the face, touches it, and tries to let you know his promise that all will be okay. It acts like love, music, and tells the feet, you do not have to be so burdened. My body is covered with wounds this world made, but I still longed to kiss him. Even when God said, could you also kiss the hand that caused each scar? If you will not find me, for you will not find me until you do. It does that. Music helps us to forgive. Well, she had a lot of wounds in her life, I can tell you. So, again, through all of that, thank you.
Sorry, there was nothing to repeat.
Can we quit? Okay, thank you. There was nothing to repeat. God's love was just fine. Thank you. Yeah. So the joy of the whole idea of the path is that it's science that works with frequency. And if you get that and you incorporate that, you're not good or bad. You've just learned a technique that cancels the addiction to a technique that keeps you away from the experience of being in God and with love all the time. It's not work. It's letting go of work. It's letting go of work and floating. Mm-hmm.